702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilo Mpakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
A very good morning to Kosi Giane, our resident clinical psychologist. Hi, Kosi.
Hey, very good morning to you, Refilwe.
So we all do this at times, right? Some more than others. Ooh. Can you answer the question of why we procrastinate? And I guess this is an important conversation to have with so many of us working from home. Now you don't have the specter of your manager, your boss hanging over you or doing the rounds to prompt you into action. You are your own boss 24/7. What in the world is procrastination? Why do we do this?
As you have rightly said, all of us procrastinate. All of us put things off at some point or other, some more than others. And it happens for a number of reasons. Some of the reasons may be, you know, important. So, for example, we weigh things up, right? And we sometimes have limitations that we need to take into account, and we have to set priority. So you may put something off because something else takes priority over it, right? So those are important considerations, and they may have to do with resource constraints that we have to factor in achieving a particular thing.
Sure.
And then others are much more mundane, you know, and it can come down to things we put down to being just downright lazy, or like, I don't feel like it, and it can wait, right? But that also means that on some level we've kind of weighed things up and then it decided it may be important, but is it urgent? But where we are, the nub of it, where we are in terms of procrastination, is when it is chronic, number one.
Yeah.
And it is putting things off that are important, urgent, so the stakes are high in what we are doing. Because it has negative consequences.
So, Kosi, from a professional perspective, when is a time to get real help or to start to talk about what's going on in a person's life when that procrastination reaches the, like you said, those critical levels, right? When the stakes are high, as in your tax, returns are due tomorrow afternoon, right? On the 16th of November, if you are an individual online taxpayer. And you know that your affairs are in a mess. So it's going to take a whole lot of, you've got your tax certificates. You need to pull together receipts. You need to fill in your logbook, which you haven't been filling in all year long. So you need time to do that. You need to track down invoices that you send or so many things need to happen for you to just press that send and submit button to SARS. And yet, you're listening to Weekend Breakfast, hungover from your Diwali parties the night before, or celebrations the night before, and it's been hanging, it's been on your mind, but you still don't want to do it.
That's just the mystery of being human, you know, and it could range, as you're saying, from, you know, very, very high-stakes situations, and it could be your health is at stake, right? And you put off changing your lifestyle. Changing your diet. You know, you've been given a diagnosis and the consequences are dire and you know this and you still don't do what needs to be done, right? It could affect, we could be talking about career limiting or career suicide behavior, you know, where there are things you have to step up to, responsibilities that you have to, you're accountable to, and yet you still don't show up for those things. And, you know, and you know, in many instances, if you go to levels at which, you know, you've had to be set down and told about the potential ramifications of this particular behavior for your career, and yet for some reason, and we could talk about, you know, things like substance use and substance abuse and so on, and we just put it off, like, okay, I'll do it another time. Let me just continue, you know, because this is the habituated way. And to just break that, it's going to take a whole lot more effort than what we have become accustomed to.
Kosi, obviously, if 2020 and COVID-19 has taught us anything, is that, and that's always been true, but we can't take for granted that we will be able to do something later.
Oh yeah.
So we so we know that, we understand that, and this year keeps showing us that. But for someone who is perhaps dealing with a deeper issue, what are the kinds of interventions that you and that you utilize to help a chronic procrastinator? You know, what could be the psychological roots behind that? Is it low self-confidence? Is it in fact anxiety that, oh my goodness, if I sit down at my desk to start writing my thesis, it's going to become clear and apparent that actually I'm such a loser.
Are you writing?
Sorry, I didn't mean to subtweet you. I'm obviously now tapping into my own prior anxieties as well. So we've got something in common. Yeah. But, you know, if I sit down and I start trying to write this thing, it's going to become apparent that I'm not up to the task. You know, I'm not good enough. What could be the possible psychological roots?
Yeah, so I mean, there are multiple and confluent drivers. So it's not, you know, a simple cause and effect and one magic bullet answer to it, right? Yeah. So I think at the heart of it and the journey, the professional journey in trying to deal with this and unpacking this in terms of saying, so where does this come from and what does it link to? So there's something deeper about it. So that behavior, that procrastination is actually a symptom of something deeper going on. And I think at the heart of it is that issue of fear of failure. And tied to fear of failure is fear of success, which becomes a vicious cycle between fear of that. And at that is that self-esteem, self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So where we have come to understand, so for example, if we look at something like perfectionism, right? So on one level, we can look at it as like, wow, you know, that's something to be admired. And certainly there is an element of something to be admired about that.
Mm-hmm.
High achiever. But at the heart of it is that there tends to be this dichotomous black or white, it's all or nothing thinking.
Yeah.
Right? So what then happens is that it's about constantly pushing new frontiers, breaking new ground, and keep raising the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there is something about self-worth and validation that's driving that sort of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of it is that, you know, it can be such that it does not matter how much externally people get validated. They can become highly accomplished people, but internally they don't validate themselves because there is still this thing of self-worth, and not good enough, and not loved enough. There is a not enoughness that's deeply embedded. And, you know, it becomes insightful when we go to, where did this begin?
Mm.
And this is where we always go to our early formative years. Some messaging happens, and many a times we are not even aware of it.
Absolutely.
So it becomes useful to help a person to take that journey back into the scaffolding of the self and how we came to understand ourselves and our worth.
Yeah.
And so many a times, because that is corroded in ways that we don't even see, then, you know, we're constantly looking on the outside. We put ourselves on the treadmill. But no matter how much we rise on the outside, because it is not mirrored by a sense of intrinsic self-worth, it never matches.
Yeah.
And so we constantly are pushing. And then it becomes a cycle of, okay, so if I don't succeed at this, so it will prove that I'm not good enough. So that fear of failure.
Sure. You know that
but having succeeded equally, having succeeded equally says, because there's no sense of validation, that is not even recognized. Whenever you do accomplish something, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, well, maybe, you know, was it really a high success, level of success? Is it really? So there is no sense of valuing that. And therefore, there's the fear that success breeds another level of raising the bar. So there's that constant pressure.
Yeah.
And dare you fail, it will prove that, of course, you know, you're not good enough.
Sure. What an uncomfortable space to dwell in and to stay in, and imagine never breaking free of that, right? That's I think that's the most painful thing. Kossi,
internal torment.
Yeah. Is there a link between procrastination and depression?
Oh yeah. So again, it is not a unilateral or a unidirectional cause and effect, where they can actually become confluent on each other. Where, for example, a person who suffers from depression, there is that lethargy of life. There is that what we call anhedonia, the lack of pleasure in life. So nothing moves them. Nothing makes sense. Right. So and so why should I? You know, mm-hmm. there's a sense of why should I? What's it worth? And so on. So there's a sense of that internal debilitation that then sets, you know, puts everything off. Nothing becomes worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, there's then that sense of guilt, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that says, you know, there's a helplessness and a hopelessness, and it just spirals deeper. So they just feed on each other, and it just spirals into the dark.
You know, I'm wondering about, you know, procrastination, I guess the sort of lighter shade of it, that's not this deep. But how to help someone who clearly is when they're excited about certain prospects or project or an event, will jump up and be the first one to drive the process of getting ready or preparing, right? But if it's something that doesn't speak to them, then that putting off or being disinterested pops in. And clearly this isn't useful in life in general, because you need to push through things that you don't care for sometimes, just because that's life, that's school, that's the workplace. You know, how do you deal with that and start to incentivize? You spoke about, I don't know if it's linked to anhedonia, but incentivize a feeling of, yes, this might not be sparking intense amounts of pleasure for me, but I understand that we need to prioritize and keep it moving.
Yeah. So there's this to understand about behavior. There's always kind of a combination of two critical drivers of behavior. And the one element of it is ability.
Mm-hmm.
So it is about the skill, the competence, the what with all it takes to do or accomplish something.
Okay.
And on the other hand, there is what you're speaking to now, which is the motivation, the want, the drive to accomplish something. And so it's important to understand how those two elements play out in a particular situation, right? And important is the motivation, because without it, we don't get that movement, mm-hmm. that we don't become energized to do anything. And it is important to, you know, to look into and drill down on the motivation, you know, in terms of what you've just spoken about. Because there may be something that's important, and it may be important at two levels. Is it important to you? Is it important or is it important to others? So, for example, your parents want you to get this degree, but is it something that you want for yourself?
Sure.
So it's important to have a sense of a means to a deeper end, and understanding what that deeper end is. Because at the heart of that deeper end is, you know, what Viktor Frankl speaks about, meaningfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So our deepest quest is a quest for meaningfulness, for purpose. And without that, people dwindle into, you know, a sense of loss, a sense of annihilation, right? And a sense, because the last thing that the human mind has tolerance for is meaninglessness. Right?
Mm.
And it is at the heart of fulfillment. And if you look at that word, when we fill ourselves with the fullness of ourselves, that's the sense of purpose and meaningfulness.
Sure.
And so it's important to look at those two elements. But then an important issue about motivation is that, you know, we tend to beat ourselves down on motivation, right? So you're not good enough and so on, if you can't do this and so on. So we're saying, that willpower. We say an important thing is, as much as you don't get anywhere without the willpower, the will is the man, as they say, mm-hmm. right? Because it is that energy that pushes us. Escape the willpower trap. In other words, do not use a magic bullet, one answer, you know, the approach to things. So as much as motivation is important, and it is, you don't get anywhere without it, it is not the only thing.
Yeah.
So I usually talk about a broad spectrum approach to getting out of that chronic procrastination.
All right. I want to welcome Lerato to the show. Lerato, welcome to Weekend Breakfast. Thanks so much for calling in. I'm not sure if you have a comment or a question for Kosi. Go ahead.
Hi, Refilo. Hi, how's Kosi? No, it's both. Mm-hmm. I think I had a reminder on for this 9 a.m. program, because I think when I saw it on Kosi's status that she's going to talk about procrastination, I thought, oh my goodness, because when I have to clean the house, I can wake up at 3 a.m., I can wash those windows, I can mop the floors, and then when it's time for me to sit down and do my PhD, I sit for 5 minutes and I immediately stand up and I'm like, I can't do this thesis. And I think she said something about the motivation that for me is exactly what I needed to hear this morning, because I was wondering why for so many years of doing this thesis, that when it comes to cleaning and mopping the floor and cooking, the energy is there. The energy is just there. But when I have to do, when she just said it so well, and she says it's those high value activities, you put them at the back and you think, oh, I'll do it and I'll do it and I did. And I think, yes, we judge ourselves a lot, and I think we sit down and think, did I really want to start this PhD, or is it because my father said I'm going to be a doctor? And then you start, you bring self-doubt into the whole thing, and you say, maybe it wasn't what I wanted to do. But I think, like you said, COVID has shown us that there are things that we have to do, and you have to do it now. Mm. So this is one program I was really looking forward to, and thank you very much for you and Rufile.
Thanks, Rufile.
An absolute pleasure, Lerato, and good luck with sitting down finally and writing that thesis. It's amazing how cleaning suddenly becomes such an attractive option when you've got other things, high-value activities to do.
And that's the thing with procrastination. You know, we suddenly make up all these things that are so important, and really, when you really think about it, if you just give yourself 10 seconds and ask yourself, really?
Priorities.
You know that it isn't.
I'll share my last hectic procrastination story, Kosi. I was sitting on an edits job that I told myself, well, let me just, I can just chill this on Sunday afternoon, and I only have to deliver this thing I only have to deliver this file at close of business on a Monday. Yeah. And true to form, did we not experience load shedding on that Monday? Did I not have to scramble to get a place where I could sit and edit and listen to audio files for 4 hours? Because, of course, I neglected to even charge my own laptop the night before. I saw all the flames. And sometimes it's great to have a partner who will say to you, but I told you so.
Yeah.
Plan for the worst and act accordingly. This didn't have to happen. That was the one time where I didn't feel embittered by an I told you so. It was warranted 100%.
And sometimes, you know, it takes us getting to that point to actually realize, you know, the importance of doing this. And hence it takes me, you know, when you say to have a partner who becomes your other brain. Hence I was saying it's important to, willpower is important, motivation is important, but it can't be the only one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we use a six-source strategy, which is about a broad spectrum. So we look at the axis of ability and the axis of motivation, but we look at it at three levels. We're saying success is never a solo, you know, achievement, as much as, yes, ultimately it is you, your name that's on that certificate.
Sure.
But we are a whole community of people. So on the one hand, you look at motivation and ability at the individual or personal level. And then you look at the second layer, which is social capital.
Mm-hmm.
Who can you pull into to become, your cheer leaders, the people that can motivate you, or people that you need in order to raise your ability? So if you're not sure about how to do something, who can you pull in to help you accomplish it? And then the third level is there are non-structural, in other words, non-human factors that we also need to leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and it's so fight in terms of motivation, we talk about carrot and stick, sure. using carrot and sticks for yourself. And then it's so sticks, we look at, you know, structural ability. What things can you, and there's so much technology and so many things that we can leverage in order to maximize a push through that enables us to do in order to accomplish those important goals.
Lovely. Thank you so much for that conversation, Khosi. I really, really enjoyed it. Keep well until we speak next week.
Indeed.
All right. Resident clinical psychologist, Khosi Giane.